Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello there. Welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. On today's show, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. The topic, choosing Jesus. Now, I know it sounds easy. Yes, I have chosen to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have chosen to become a Christian. I have chosen to follow Jesus. I choose to go to church every Sunday. It sounds really good, but as we'll look at the gospel today, it's one of those tough ones where Jesus lets us know that being a Christian, being one of his followers, isn't always easy, and there are responsibilities that we have as Christians. So that's what we're going to talk about in today's show. In the readings, we'll see the fact that in order to follow Jesus, and I mean really follow him, be a Christian in the full sense of the word, to be a good follower of Christ, what does it really take? Well, he's going to talk about that today. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, the language is tough. Some of the language that he uses in the gospel is really designed to get our attention. So we're going to have to make a choice. This is a choice that each of us has to make really every day, several times throughout the day, not just on Sundays. The choice of, am I going to follow Jesus or am I going to focus on the pleasures of the world? You know, it might sound dramatic, but it really isn't. We are all called to make this choice. So I want to hourly basis, maybe even more than that. So, hope you can settle in, stick it out with me for the entire program. Again, we'll be here for 30 minutes, so feel free to grab a snack, grab a beverage, pull up a chair, and we're going to get started. So, why don't we do this? Why don't we begin with prayer, as we always do? We're going to talk to our Father in heaven, and we want to be mindful of the fact that he is with us, that he hears us, that he sees us, that he loves us. We might not be able to see him, but that's because he's a spirit. He's invisible. That's supposed to be that way. However, he can see us, and he knows us intimately because he created us. So he knows us better than anybody else. So let's turn to our Father now, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for loving us into existence. Father, thank you for providing for all of our needs from the time we were first conceived up until the present time. Father, we have total confidence that you will continue to provide for our needs. Father, we ask you to bless us and our families. Allow us to grow closer to you this day. Help us to follow your Son Jesus as he leads us to you. Father, help us avoid committing any sins. We're going to need grace to be able to do that. Help us to have the grace necessary to avoid doing anything that would displease you, or to not do. Give us the grace to do those things that we don't want to do when those things we're called to do would please you. Father, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us today. Open our minds and our hearts to hear your message. And lastly, I'm going to ask you to give me, Father, the message to deliver today. Help me say the right things about the readings. Help me make the right comments. Help me deliver the message that you would like delivered. Father God, we ask these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. Thank you for tuning into the program. My name is Gary Zimak. This is, of course, the Gary Zimak Show. And this week we are looking at the Mass readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And again, the topic is choosing Jesus, choosing to follow Jesus. There's an old song, I've decided to follow Jesus. Have we? Because we say initially, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to do what he wants me to do. But then things happen. I struggle with this all the time. It's not easy. It's not easy to follow Jesus, especially when we have so many temptations in the world, so many reasons to not follow him, because worldly comforts, they're very distracting, they're tempting. So we will chat about that today. Hey, I want to invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. For more information about my work, you can find out about all of my books, and you can also find out how to bring me to your parish or conference to speak. I would love to do that. Head on over to followingthetruth.com, and you can check it out. You can also subscribe to my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's free of charge. All you need to do is supply your email address. And in addition, while you're over at followingthetruth.com, you can also check out my podcast, Following the Truth, which airs Monday through Friday. It's 5 minutes each day, so you might want to subscribe to that as well, in addition to all the other information you could find at followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get right to these readings today. They're not especially long, but they're powerful. As I do it each week on the program, we're going to start by looking at the gospel. We'll let the gospel lead the way. The church teaches that the gospel has a place of prominence. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have a place of prominence among all other books of the Bible because they're the primary source of information about the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if we want to get to know Jesus, two of the best things we can do are, number one, become familiar with the Gospels, and number two, frequent the sacraments as often as you can. The more you do that, the more you read the Gospels and the more you receive Jesus in the Eucharist and also encounter him in the sacrament of confession, the more you do that, the more familiar you will become with Jesus, the better you'll get to know him. And let's face it, the better you get to know Jesus, the more you're going to choose to love him, right? And the more you are going to be able to see his presence in your daily life. Sometimes it's hard. It can be very challenging sometimes to see the presence of the Lord when everything is going crazy in our lives. But the more we know him, the better it is the more familiar we are with the sound of his voice, even though we don't hear him audibly for the most part. But we'll be able to recognize him speaking in the circumstances of life, through scripture, through the teachings of the church. You know, you start to do those things and you begin to become more familiar with Jesus. So let's get to these readings right now. The gospel for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Ouch, right? That is a brutal statement. And we'll get into a little bit more about what Jesus might mean, but he's trying to get the attention of those traveling with him. He probably knew some people there were in it just to see the miracles. They're looking for the razzle-dazzle, maybe. They were following him half-heartedly, as we all can tend to do at times. And again, he's trying to get their attention. He's trying to shake them loose a little bit, to wake them up. And the same thing for us. He wants to shake us up too. And we can get into the whole thing of hating your father and mother. Obviously, Jesus calls us to love even our enemies. So this is a translation issue. This is an example of trying to get our attention. And I'll elaborate on what he's really saying here, because it's totally illogical for him to tell us to hate anyone. Whoever, and Jesus goes on, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he mentions that. He reminds us that there is a cross. There is suffering associated with Christianity. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. So, a couple things here. I mean, essentially what Jesus is saying is, I need to come first in your life. He is not saying to leave our families. He's not saying to sell all of our possessions. What he's saying is that we need to keep our priorities straight. We need to place our discipleship above anything else. And now, for the most part in life, especially when it comes to our family lives, if everything is in its proper place, if we are truly following Jesus, and if we are truly keeping our focus on him and his church, then everything is going to be, your family life is not going to be disrupted, because you should be loving Jesus in your other family members. And for the most part, you're not going to have problems until somebody in your family or maybe a friend says to you something to the effect of, "Well, that church stuff, that's so old-fashioned, that's archaic. Look, let's go have a good time this Sunday. Let's go have a nice picnic, and Jesus will understand." Well, no, see, then you have a problem. Or worse, there's other things, too. I shouldn't say or worse, because that's pretty bad to not go to Mass on Sunday, but it's a mortal sin if you do it knowingly without a good reason. But there are times when we, through our love for things and other people, we tend to compromise our love for Christ and our belief in following him. You know, it sounds really good to be a Christian and to obtain the peace that Jesus wants to give us until we have to stand up for our faith, or until it gets really difficult and it's painful, or we have to forego one of our sinful pleasures that's going to make us feel good momentarily. Or maybe we don't have the fortitude to keep pushing forward. Maybe we don't want to make waves in the world. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we don't feel like being good today. You know, all these things, they tend to get in the way of our discipleship, of our following Jesus. Now, do Christians have a greater cross? Because Jesus is talking here, and he said it elsewhere too, about the necessity to, if we're going to follow him, to pick up our cross, to carry our cross. Well, everybody has a cross in life. We live in a fallen human world. This is not heaven. So if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, you're still going to have crosses in life. There is suffering in this world. I mean, that's all there is to it. So just because we choose to follow Jesus and become a Christian does not mean all our crosses are going to disappear. Does it mean that our crosses will be worse? Do Christians have a heavier cross than others who might not be Christians? Well, generally speaking, I guess you could say so, because Christianity is a countercultural set of beliefs. We have to go against the grain of the wisdom of the world for the most part. And no, we can't do anything we feel like doing. We can't morally just do whatever feels good. We're held to a higher standard. Now, is the cross heavier? It depends. There may be greater suffering just because of the fact that we're called to live for Jesus. We're called to follow him. Now, we're not just called to have a good time and please ourselves. So, yeah, there is additional suffering that goes along with that. However, is our cross heavier? Not necessarily, because if we're really following Jesus, he's going to give us the grace to carry our cross. And this is where it gets tricky. Followers of Christ have lighter crosses, even though they may have more suffering, because he gives us the grace to deal with our suffering. You see what I'm saying there? And it's confusing, because the message of the world is, if you want to feel good, if you want to experience a minimal amount of suffering, then you have to have no crosses. You have to have no problems. Well, that happens to none of us. So there are people who are dealing with serious illnesses, chronic illnesses, chronic pain, who are more peaceful and who technically have a lighter cross, even though they have a greater amount of suffering, than somebody who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't want to know Jesus, who leads what appears to be a comfortable life. With Jesus, whatever cross we are asked to carry becomes lighter. It's a complete paradox. It makes no sense according to the wisdom of the world, but that's the way it is with Christianity. When you look at the way we were redeemed and brought back and brought back into God's good graces, and the gates of heaven were open, when you look at the way that God chose to do it by sending his son to suffer and die on the cross, that doesn't make sense according to the wisdom of the world. It doesn't. But to God, it makes perfect sense. So Christianity might not make sense to the unbeliever, but to Jesus, it makes perfect sense. And it's not a matter of fully comprehending it. Do I know how it is that I can find peace in a cross, peace in suffering? No, it doesn't make sense to me. But Jesus tells me that I can. And that's where faith comes in. That's where, at some point, we have to make that decision to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust in the Lord and not trust so much in our own wisdom. So basically, in this gospel, Jesus is saying, look, you got to make a choice. If you're going to be my follower, I want you to understand, I'm going to promise you eternal life in heaven. I'm going to promise you that. I'm going to promise you rest if you come to me, if you're heavy laden, if you're tired and weary. Matthew 11:28. I'm going to give you rest. However, there is a cross. There's a cost as well. The world's going to treat you poorly oftentimes because that's how they treated Jesus. We have a choice to make. I will absolutely say the cost is worth it. And I will tell you that. It is absolutely worth it. First reading is from the book of Wisdom, chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or who would ever know your counsel except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. Now, this first reading pretty much says, as human beings with limited intellects, we can't figure out the wisdom of God. We just can't do it. However, God gave us his Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, who first comes to us at baptism, and then he's strengthened during confirmation. And through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're able to better grasp the mysteries of God. We're only going to get so far because we still have a limited human intellect, but through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we will be able to better understand, not always comprehend, but understand the way God works. We might look at a tragedy, we might look at a problem or difficulty, we might not fully comprehend how this is going to be used by God for good, but through faith and through the working of the Holy Spirit in our souls, we'll be able to give God the benefit of the doubt. Does that make sense? To give him the benefit of the doubt and say, I don't really understand this, however, I'm going to trust you because something in me is telling me that you know what you're doing. And that's the working of the Holy Spirit. And in order to follow Jesus, to follow him, to become a Christian for real, there are going to be times when we have to say, all right, I don't understand this, but Jesus, I trust you. I trust that you know what you're doing. And that's what faith is. The responsorial psalm. This is one of those reminders that this is Psalm 90. I like this one because it's a reminder that our time on earth is short. And I think anytime we deal with these challenges of the temptations of worldly pleasures, you know, they're not always sinful, but a lot of times they take our attention off of Jesus and carrying our cross. And we want to remember to not spend all of our time watching mindless TV shows, you know, just surfing the internet, listening to music. I do that. It helps me to relax. It's a good thing, but not all the time. You don't want to neglect your prayer time, neglect your spiritual life just because you're doing things that make you feel good. You know, sports is a good example. You don't want to spend all of your time watching or playing sports. Some time is fine. And this psalm reminds us that the things of the world, all the things that bring us pleasure in this life, yeah, God's given us things and activities. You know, he's given us earthly pleasures to build up our spirits, to refresh us, to help us to relax, to give us enjoyment. But we have to remember that the things of this life, they're temporary. We're not going to spend eternity on this earth. And everything about this world makes us tend to forget that. And that's why this psalm is so important. In every age, Lord, you have been our refuge. You turn man back to dust. That'll get your attention, right? You turn back man to dust. Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning, they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. Teach us, I love this, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands. In other words, make your time count. You know, we pray, Lord, please bless this work that I'm about to do, whatever these efforts are that I'm going to put forth this day, whether it's working around the house or at school, in the office, spreading the good news somehow, whatever it is that we're doing. Prosper the work of our hands, Lord. We just do what little we can and let the Lord take over and do the rest. But we want to remember to not spend all of our time focusing on the temporary pleasures of this world. It is passing away. And, you know, we don't like to face it. I think in a certain sense, we have to live in a some sort of a limited state of denial, you know, because otherwise we'd never leave our house. We could just become overwhelmed. We have to be able to escape sometimes. We don't want to always be reminded of the fact that we're going to die one day. Otherwise, we'd never enjoy ourselves. Well, I better not go out of the house because I might get into an accident or something might happen, you know? But we don't want to lose sight of that either. The second reading is a reading from the letter of Paul to Philemon, sometimes pronounced Philemon. It's pronounced different ways depending on your preference. It's chapter, verse 9 and 10, and then 12 and 17. This is a very short letter. It's one chapter in the Bible. And it has to do with Paul writing to Philemon about an escaped slave, Onesimus. And Onesimus is the escaped slave, got away from Philemon. He befriended Paul in his captivity, and really helped Paul. And Paul is essentially this letter, this passage we're going to be reading today, is Paul appealing to Philemon to have mercy on his slave and really say, you know, because slavery was accepted back in the days of St. Paul. It was an accepted practice. But Paul's saying, look, he helped me out and I'm asking you to have mercy on him. I'm sending him back to you. He's trying to do the right thing. Have mercy on him. Let me just read this and we'll chat a little bit. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. Now, if we look at this, sometimes it's tough, as if you've been with me in the past, you know what I've said. It's sometimes tough to work these second readings into the overall theme. But what I see coming here from this second reading is the fact that Paul is urging Onesimus to have a more of a heavenly, urging Philemon to have more of a heavenly outlook when it comes to his earthly slave. In other words, don't treat him as a slave, because he helped me so much. I'm asking you to have mercy on him. He escaped. Paul's trying to say, please forgive him. He's doing the right thing. He's coming back. But try to look at him not as just your servant, your slave, from a purely earthly point of view, but look at him through heavenly eyes, as a brother in Christ, as a child of God. Look at him with mercy, as God is merciful toward us. And then, you know, look, we are faced with the same thing every day. How many times do we look at a person, somebody in our life? Life might be causing us trouble, might be making life difficult for us. And then you have this whole command from Jesus to love your enemies. How do you do that? Well, yeah, it needs some work. And it's really the biggest help for us is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, and we just talked about the Holy Spirit can help us to love others with the love of God. So through the love which is poured out into our heart by God, in the Holy Spirit, I'm able to take that love and channel it toward even those people whom I find difficult to get along with. So this whole thing, all of these readings have to do with looking at our earthly life with a heavenly perspective, with a reminder that we are not going to be here forever. So maybe we need to look at the challenges of life, the difficulties, the imperfection, with one eye on heaven, realizing that we were made for eternity in heaven with God. But in order for that to happen, we got to make it through this life first. So no matter how bad it is, no matter how much you're struggling right now, just remember that it's going to come to an end. Your sufferings will not last forever. You're not going to take them with you when you die. So sometimes even knowing that makes things easier, okay? But there are choices that we have to make. We have choices to make, not just every day, but really every hour, but oftentimes every minute. Am I really going to follow Jesus? Am I going to be merciful? Am I going to love others? You know, it's tough, but that's the beauty of being a Christian. There is tremendous reward in it. All right, I got to run. Thank you so much for listening to the program. Please visit followingthetruth.com to find out more about my work. And if you're able to leave a donation for me there, please do so. Consider that doing so, because it would really help my ministry, especially in these summer months. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And I look forward, God willing, to being back with you next week right here on The Gary Zimek Show. Bye-bye.